Father God, we do thank you for your word. Please open our hearts and minds to your word so that we can be blessed by it. And being blessed, go out into the world, your world, and be a blessing to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You have a choice. The collect for today actually encapsulated everything about today. So I can read it again, or I can spout forth. Which would you prefer? Thank you. That's the right answer. We all know these words from John's Gospel, don't we? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John takes us back to Genesis, doesn't he? We all know that. We're all adults and grown-up people, and we know that. In the beginning. And it was God's word that brought creation into being. And creation came out of nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my brain hurts actually trying to even read the concepts, let alone understand them in the Bible. I have no concept about nothingness. God created the world in which we live, and he gave us out of nothing. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there when he made the world, by his speech, by his word. So that's nothingness dealt with. And the Trinitarian element of this particular first set of verses, I myself have tried on several occasions to explain the Trinity, but I've failed. Or, no, I've come a bit close to it. But I've never heard anybody explain the mystery and the wonder of the Trinity to my satisfaction. So that's two things where my brain hurts. But actually, what it means is that I'm not meant to understand. We are meant to simply have faith. I'm not giving up on the thought of nothingness or the Trinity, not at all. I'm just saying that sometimes we just have to stop and simply say, I believe. And what God has done when he created the earth, and what John has brought us back to, is that he is our creator. He came into the world, into the light, and his light shines, and the darkness does not overcome it. Obviously, John thought that we needed to go back to the beginning. The other synoptic gospels, which John would have probably had access to when writing his eyewitness account, they go back as far as Adam or Abraham or the birth of Jesus. But obviously John was led to go back to in the beginning. And as we start a new year, maybe we are going back to a beginning. I don't know. And then we go on to listen to about John the Baptist, who came to witness. Another word, witness. John was an eyewitness to Christ's life. And John the Baptist was a precursor to welcoming in Jesus, the light of the world. And being witnesses is very, very important. We are called to be witnesses in every aspect of our lives. I don't always make it. I don't expect you do. And I was talking to Susan before, and I reckon we witnessed as a benefice in the schools, in the nursing homes, in the carol services, in the services, about 800 people. And I said to these Tuddenham people at the carol service, obviously Jesus is relevant to them, because otherwise would they be in church? You know, I don't go to places that I don't want to go to. We have that freedom of will. But I reckon about 800 people chose to listen to the story of Jesus coming down to be the light of the world. I find that wonderful. And it goes on in the Gospel of John, very salutary. He came into the world and the world did not know him. Even his own people did not know him, and they still don't. Israel, the Jews recognized Jesus as a prophet, but not the Son of God. And how many times have you heard people say, well, if Jesus could do this, or if God could do this, or the Holy Spirit could do that, I might believe. After the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus was being questioned, they still asked him for a miracle, a sign of who he was. Now, he just fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm not quite sure what else he could have done to make them believe. And that goes on to the very thorny question. Another question which I can't answer. Another question that I ponder between predestination and freedom of will. Because in all of the readings for today, God says that, you know, he chose us. We may think we chose God, but actually he chose us. So that's the predestination element. And it doesn't matter what we do, what we say, how we worship, we cannot earn that gift. We can refuse it, but we can't earn it. And the Bible, John's Gospel, goes on to say, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was indeed given to us by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. So that sets the tone for our being, why we are here, how we are chosen. But what do we actually receive? Now, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Paul was obviously still under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard, and this is the letter he wrote to the Ephesians. And I understand that when it was originally written in the Greek, it was one long sentence. Can you imagine reading that? I have made the assumption that it was one long sentence because Paul was just so passionate, so enamoured, so wanting to get this message out that he couldn't stop himself. He was just wanting to put it all down and get it out there to the people to listen to. And it is a wonderful, wonderful set of comments about what God has actually given to us. Those blessings that he pours down on our heads day after day after day. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Yeah, we find heavenly places in church, but we also find heavenly places out in the community. I'm not sure I find God too much in Tesco's. Other supermarkets are available. but he is there with us through every minute detail of our lives. When we have perhaps put him to one side in the busyness of our lives or something. I did read a poem when I was preparing for today, and it was about Jesus going to Birmingham. They didn't kill him. They just ignored him. And I wonder how many people today simply ignore Jesus. And in the Ephesians reading, it says, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's each one of us. Out of nothingness, we were thought of first. I can't explain that either. And he destined us for adoption as his children. That's alluded to in the gospel reading. I am not adopted. I don't know if anybody here is adopted. But if you are adopted, you are chosen. You are special. As in fact, we are all adopted into the family of Christ. And he loves us because he does it according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestows on us. We have the redemption through his blood. The Jews did not kill Jesus for all the miracles he did and for all his teaching. They killed him because he claimed to be the Son of God. And by his death, we have the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace and that beautiful word that he lavishes upon us. I don't think I've been lavished on for quite a while, actually, in a human sense. Because it is such an explosion of love. And that's what God gives to us. That's what God lavishes upon us. Everything we need, everything we can think of, he will give us. We have this inheritance, this wonderful inheritance that we are children of God. And yes, we may have been chosen, and yes, we have said yes to him. But sometimes all we can say is, yes, Lord, I have faith. Thank you for your gifts. And taking just two simple words, I believe, or we believe in the Master, the Creator of the universe and our Redeemer. Thank you is not enough. But Lord Jesus, Lord God, the Holy Spirit, all incarnate in one, we believe. Amen.